Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I am George Knapp listening to That UFO Podcast and having one hell of a good time.
So in this second part, George, we're going to get through listener questions. Needless to say, there was a flood and Congress wouldn't have time to go through them all if we tried to do it. So I'll do my very best here. First off, we have to address it. Paul asks, I know I keep bringing it up, but for me personally, it's quite a big deal. I would like George to answer. What is your opinion on the Lou Elizondo incident with the quote-unquote mothership photo being a simple reflection in the glass? Do you think he presented this with the knowledge it was in fact not a real UAP, or do you think he was set up?
I'm not sure it was a setup. I certainly don't think he would present something that he knows is not true. I think it was just a mistake. I think somebody that he trusts gave him that and said it's legit. He took their word for it without checking on it, and it was a mistake, and he's fessed up to that mistake. Hey, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I hope to live long enough to make more of them. We are human. Even Lou Elizondo, as smart as he is, can make a mistake, and I think it's just as simple as that. Not a setup, not a blatant attempt to manipulate the public, just an error.
I've tried to say in the short time I've done this podcast over 4.5 years, George, that I don't think anyone is infallible, no matter what kind of pedestal you want to put them on. And I've named people like yourself or Lou and others over the years to say these are people I trust and whatnot. But would I ultimately be devastated or incredibly shocked if someone let you down? I don't think in the UFO topic you can be, because of just the very nature of what it is.
Yeah. So it comes with the territory, yeah.
Yeah, right. So that was it. And like you say, I think it was a mistake that's happened, and you can't undo every other good piece of work someone does. But conversely, you also get folks who I maybe don't agree with that now and again maybe do good work these days. I'll cite a Stephen Greer. Personally, I think went off the bandwagon, off the rails years ago. However, a broken clock is right twice a day, so you can't dismiss when that clock is then right, because otherwise you're no better than the trolls and debunkers and everything. So
I get the same thing. I mean, about Stephen Greer, people are writing to me about Investigation Alien, this Netflix thing. Hey, you had Michael Herrera on. Stephen Greer talked to him first. You diss Stephen Greer all the time. What's the deal? Well, you know, Dr. Greer did do some good work. He brought forward witnesses and whistleblowers and put it out there for the public. I mean, you got to acknowledge that. He did great work. He's gone somewhere else since then, and I don't get into it. I don't want to be critical of him. He's gone off on a different tangent, but he did do some good work. You're right.
And I've said, George, if it comes out that Stephen Greer is the guy who is most right in all of this, I will sign up to one of his Kumbaya camps tomorrow, and I will be there summoning the aliens above his mansion. Like, I'll be there with the best of them. Next up, Stuart asks, while reports about the technical nature of this phenomena are widely explored and documented, has there been much research done into communication with the NHI behind it all? The NHI is the absent voice in all of this and the most important, suspiciously so.
How to answer that? Yeah, there have been attempts to figure out how to communicate. You know, the only communication that's fairly well documented is the one-on-one, is the people who say they've been abducted or who had these encounters and have conversations, and somehow these beings communicate telepathically or otherwise with humans in the alien editorials that we've heard over the years. Over 50 years of this stuff, them saying the same thing over and over, the people who say they've had these communications, they tell us, you're destroying your planet, knock it off, quit messing with nuclear weapons. That's the message that comes through all the time. Different beings have told different stories about where they're from. I'm not sure we can trust all that, but the central messages are always the same. Has our government tried to communicate? Yeah. Lou Elizondo made a statement about it at that congressional hearing. I think people have misinterpreted it. He said there's been nonverbal communication and interaction between our craft and their craft, how a pilot maneuvers around and the reaction. For example, Dave Fravor, he says that when he encountered the Tic Tac, it reacted. It turned toward him and it reacted to him. In a sense, that's a form of communication. Are we talking to them? Do we have a secret treaty signed by Eisenhower? I kind of tend to doubt that. But as we learned there in Kolaris, there was some kind of communication going on. It was recorded. I don't know that anybody has ever deciphered that language or who was behind it or what they were saying, but yeah, there have been communication attempts. I don't know how far they've gotten. I don't have that information.
Have you ever seen, George, or heard of any ability from folks within the government or other agencies to bring about an abduction experience?
Yeah, I don't think I want to go there. And I think there are some really murky programs that have explored possible ways to simulate something like that. Not only to simulate it, take it even further. And I think that's a pretty scary thing to go down that road. I don't think I want to go too far. But I think the sense of your question has some merit, put it that way.
And what I'm getting at there is ultimately, in terms of communication, if you could work out how to basically get these things to come, and maybe it's a not particularly nice thing to come. Yeah, but I'm just curious on that. So appreciate the answer.
Well, there have been efforts to go ahead and attract them and see if certain things you do, does it always work? And it generally does. It's nuclear stuff, you know? So there were, what I was told is there were 18 of these experiments where they send something out that is carrying something that should normally attract the attention of whoever they are. And 18 out of 18 times it was successful, meaning something showed up. I don't know all the specifics though.
Yeah, I don't recommend anyone try sticking some nuclear product in a backpack. No. And no matter what Bob Lazar used to sell from his office, you don't want to be carrying that kind of materials about. Christopher asks, George, loved the documentary. Did the hearing on November 13th cover things you and Jeremy were anticipating? I had the impression from the discussion that you and Jeremy had on Weaponized, you both may have been anticipating something bigger and more shocking would come out. I know some are disappointed, but I know this is a marathon, not a sprint, and everything that takes a step in the direction of disclosure and proof is a step in the right direction. After the many decades you have spent pursuing this, what advice do you have for those who are disappointed and discouraged, and what else can we, the public, do to push for disclosure and work towards getting to the bottom of what UAPs are?
Well, as I said before, I'm encouraged that Congress even held a hearing. So that, to me, was a plus. Yes, we were anticipating that some additional people would come forward and that the world would hear a different level of disclosure. That didn't happen. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen in the future. I am greatly encouraged by the pace of progress over the past 7 years. As I said earlier, Andy, I mean, compared to the 30 years before that, this has been an amazing time. What people should do is stay informed on it. Keep the pressure on. If you live in this country, you communicate with your members of Congress and tell them, yeah, we appreciate that you are asking these questions and pursuing this. I mean, they live and die by those kind of communications with voters. It has a great deal of influence when you tell them they're doing a good job and to keep on it. So, you know, what the public can do is educate yourself. There's a gigantic storehouse of information out there available. You've got a lot of it right there behind you. In my house, pretty much every portion of my house is filled with UFO books and files and things. I don't recommend that people do that in their own home, but there's a great deal of information out there from credible sources. Educate yourself and share it with your neighbors, because it's an enduring mystery. It is central to human existence. And it's so much fun to pursue besides.
William asked a couple of questions. I've picked one of them out. He's been a bit frustrated and says, with the UAP Disclosure Act not passing, it's starting to sound like an excuse for no first-hand insiders coming forward. Are we ever going to get proof? So within that question, George, if you could just share your thoughts on a second attempt at this UAP Disclosure Act looking like it's going to fail with those kind of big asks.
Well, I'm troubled by that failure. It looks like there's some invisible hands that are powerful that pulled the plug on that. I don't know how powerful somebody has to be to tell the Senate majority leader, no, you're not going to get this passed this time. I'm not quite sure who that is, but I can imagine who's behind it. And that's discouraging. I'm encouraged that they presented it in the first place. I think that there is a possibility for progress in the near term. You know, as we talked before about some of these Trump appointees who've been designated, who've been outspoken in their support of transparency, the guy who will be at CIA, holy cow, some of the things that he has said, Ratcliffe, in the past, makes me think that maybe he will help usher in a new era of understanding of this mystery. Maybe, you know, some of the people around Trump, some of these tech guys have decided that, you know, Lockheed and other companies that have had the goods stashed away for a long time, you guys haven't made much progress. Let us take a whack at it. Maybe that's what's underway.
Yeah, fair enough. Simon asks, if you were a member of Congress, what question would you have asked to the experts in the recent hearing that wasn't asked?
You know, I would ask, why haven't you been able to get into SCIF? I mean, have you attempted to do it, and who blocked you? That's what I'd like to know. Lou Elizondo, have you been threatened if you go too far? Would you be prosecuted? I'd like to hear about the kinds of threats that he's had. I'd like to hear from Michael Schellenberger about how he acquired that information and the circumstances that have happened since then, whether the person who shared it is in any danger. I would have liked to, Mike Gold, I'd like to hear from him about OSAP. You know, he had statements inside his written presentation that were not shared with the committee there orally. There were some interesting things he said about OSAP that were not mentioned to the committee. That's what I would have asked him about.
Expand on Mike Gold a little bit for me, because I think he came across almost a bit of a lame duck on the day, but I still get the feeling that was more down to maybe Congress not knowing what to ask him and how to use that particular witness. Is that fair?
I think so. I mean, he was there. I think he wanted to put a little pressure on his colleagues at NASA. Hey, you guys should be interested in this. You've got information. You've got a mechanism for collecting more information. Why don't you go ahead and do it? So I think that's what his primary message was, and it came through loud and clear. Now, he was a vice president of Bigelow Aerospace during the years that the OSAP program was enacted. And although he was not a central player in that, he would be aware of the negotiations that went on between the subsidiary of Bigelow Aerospace and the DIA on how that program would be set up, where that information would go. I think that would have been a really interesting series of questions and answers that didn't happen.
Question from S. Nyhart. George, I totally agreed with you when you said we'd have to pry these secrets from the holder's cold, dead fingers, as morbid as that sounds. I'm of the belief that the timing of all this being released in 2017 with some political machinations in the US, perhaps a show that somebody's secrets were known by another party and more videos could follow if whatever happened. I do have a question on other countries. Why would someone like a Putin or other leaders keep these secrets too? I just think they would want to beat America to the punch of releasing this information first.
I think it's pretty simple, is that there is a race for this technology. We're trying to get it. We've had these remains, these crash saucers, and have tried to reverse engineer it for more than a half a century. I don't think we've made much progress. We know for sure the Russians have it. We suspect that the Chinese have it. Harry Reid had shared that information with me, that both of those countries are trying to do the same things we're going to do. Now, you can't tell your friends without telling your enemies. When you reveal, yeah, we've got this stuff, we haven't made any progress, you're giving them valuable information. Whoever gets that technology first wins, period. If we had a Tic Tac, we don't need to build F-22s, F-35s, B-21s, any of that stuff. One of those is all we need. We know it, they know it, and there's a race for that technology. So, no, I don't believe that there's some big political machinations in why things came out in 2017. There are limits to what our country is going to be willing to say. And I understand the national security implications. It's a tough spot that I think our leaders are in. I'm more than willing to beat them over the head for lying to the public about it. But I recognize that at some point, there's a point at which we cannot go beyond in telling what we know about this without there being real world consequences.
Yeah, I think I've come to the realization that as much as I'd love to know the exact location of where one of these saucers are, if that did come out in public, every Chinese, Russian, North Korean spy on the planet would descend on that location, and you'd probably be at risk of an actual invasion or attempted invasion for some country trying to get this craft, this technology. It would just be wild to come out with that information in public, wouldn't it?
Yeah, true. I mean, look at Roswell. Roswell, the 509th, is the only atomic bomber wing in the world at the time. Roswell was infested with Russian spies and Russian operatives, as was the rest of New Mexico. And I know that because when I was in Russia twice in the 90s, they told me about it, that the Russian spies had been there. They were aware of that something had crashed. They tried to get more information out of it, and they concluded it's not American, it's not theirs, it's from somewhere else. Of course, the Russians would be there to study their atomic stuff. If they knew where our saucers were stashed, they'd be there too. You're right.
And I think, is it safe to say, George, it's not as simple as these saucers or bits of saucers or bodies are kept in buildings. These things would be deep underground in installations. You would have no idea even house that kind of stuff, or in mountains that you've got no idea where these things are.
I think you're absolutely correct on that. You know, my focus when I started was on Area 51 and out there in the Nevada desert, in the Nevada test site. And I think that based on witnesses who've talked to me over the decades, that technology was out there for a while and was in an underground facility. It would not make sense for it to still be there because so many people, not just the public, but members of Congress and media have been out there looking for it. I don't know where they moved it, but I'm pretty sure it's not there anymore.
Yeah, unless it's very, very far underground or in those mountains surrounding.
Entirely possible.
Yeah. Question from Newman. Newman always comes up with some pretty hard-hitting questions here, so bear with me. Evidence of black holes. Public commentator Eric Weinstein once said that if there is any legitimacy to UAP reverse engineering projects, which he termed black holes, there must be some kind of detectable indirect signals of them, similar to how we prove the existence of black holes through their indirect effects, such as gravitational lensing. Weinstein suggested these to be, for instance, institutions that have unusually special interests in certain fields close to exotic propulsion physics, or likewise have their graduates predominantly disappear into certain ominous companies. One could also make the case that likely a lot dual-use research into tracking and reverse engineering of UAP is going in the public domain disguised as civilian research. In this light, would George be willing to look within his docuseries Investigation Alien, besides into physical evidence of UAP, but also into potential evidence of highly coordinated institutional interest into studying and reverse engineering them?
Well, I'd love to be able to tackle that to a larger degree. Let me just say this first off, I don't pretend to be a scientist. I mean, one of the reasons you go into journalism is so you don't have to deal with math a lot. So I don't pretend to be a scientist or understand this stuff. I do know that there are think tanks and scientific organizations around the world who have data that would be directly related to the larger mystery here that maybe they don't even know would apply to this stuff. I hope that somebody is trying to collect all that stuff, especially now that suddenly some of the stigma has been eliminated regarding the larger mystery. Avi Loeb, Harvard, is coming out with some sort of a report. I haven't read it yet, but you know, the fact that he comes forward, the fact that somebody like Avi Loeb and Gary Nolan and Jacques Vallée and academics of their stature would go ahead and go publicly and discuss these matters is maybe more encouraging even than Congress looking at it or the media reporting on it. Because once those guys get a foothold, then other scientists come forward and can take this without the fear of the kind of ridicule and destruction of their personal reputations that have plagued science in past decades. I don't know if that answers the question, but would I like to do that? Yeah. Is there another season of Investigation Alien? No. So, you know, at this point, we're still sort of gauging the reaction, the public reaction, and how big a response to the audience was to that Netflix series. And there's no plans for season two.
And if there is, maybe you can reach out to Gary Nolan, Peter Scafish, and the Saul Foundation folks, Avi Loeb, and get some of those involved for that scientific aspect of it, because I think there's more and more appetite. People love hearing about the abductions, the mutilations, the fascinating woo of the subject, but I think there's more and more appetite for the scientific side of things as well.
Oh, absolutely. We recorded hours and hours of stuff with Gary Nolan and Jacques Vallée, and only this much kind of made it into the series. There was a whole other interview with Jacques that I had that I wanted to include that didn't make it. There were other entire interviews we did with some really smart people. We flew to Mexico City to interview a scientist, a physicist. It didn't even make the cut, which is too bad because it was really interesting stuff. So, yeah, we did go down that road, and I think that material could make its way into a future production. But for now, I think we wanted to keep it simple and understandable for as broad an audience as possible.
Something I've not actually wrote to ask you about, but what about the Nazca mummies, George? Did anything like that come up, or is that something you've even kept tabs on?
I'm only watching from afar. I don't really have a way into the story. I am, you know, like everything else in UFO world, there's these huge arguments. It's fake. It's real. You know, everybody calling each other names. And I'm just not ready for me to wade in. I don't have an entry point for the story. I figured, you know, there's only so much you can cover. I do have to sleep once in a while. So I left that to other people to go ahead and tackle. I'm interested. I hope it makes progress, but I don't know what to make of it so far. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm the same, where I was completely dismissive at first. Now I'm watching from a distance with a bit of an interest of maybe there's something there, but maybe the whole story isn't quite what we think it is. But
if it could be documented and it's true, well, that'd be tremendous. But I just don't know yet.
Jordan asks, we hear a lot of theories about UAPs relating to their origin. For example, some people think they may be extraterrestrial, interdimensional. You speak to Dr. Michael Masters in your series, and he talks about the future human hypothesis. They've been here all along from Earth, etc. I'd like to know, given the research George has done, which of these does he most gravitate to now as the most plausible?
The most plausible to me is multiple different answers, that it's all of the above. That it is extraterrestrial and interdimensional. Time travelers is now on the table. I tend to think that they live here, that in essence, they've been here as long as we've have and maybe longer. It's, you know, there's no such thing as unobtainium as far as we know, no element that we have not discovered on Earth that is in these crash retrieval materials. I think they live here. I think they've been here a long time. Maybe it's a dimensional thing. Maybe as crypto-terrestrials, maybe they live in the ocean, but they're earthlings in the same way we are.
Yeah, I would go with that. Paul says, long-time listener, first time posing a question. So thank you, Paul. I followed George for a good number of years on various stories, both topic and non-topic related. Has he ever gotten to a point with information he has before him where he's questioned if he really wants to know the whole truth? As a lot of reports don't paint this as the love and light that's been promoted from the more woo aspects of the topic.
Yes. The answer to that is yes. There have been a couple of times in these pursuits over the decades where it really just becomes so disturbing that you wonder, is this a good path? Is this what I want to do with my life? And then we're like Skinwalker. So, you know, the dominant paradigm when I started was these are interplanetary craft. They're ETs coming from somewhere else to visit us. And that was pretty much what everybody assumed. And then, you know, a couple of years in, you run into the Skinwalker phenomena and you realize it's something quite different, that it's much more complicated than ETs visiting from some other planet. And then there are some fairly scary and sinister aspects to it. The hitchhiker phenomena, for example, that followed people home and really messed with their lives. And that would be a point where I would have to question whether it's worth going forward or not. Yeah, that's one of them.
Russell asks, regarding Investigation Alien, understandably, there is always a conflict between what a platform such as Netflix will want from a series in respect of entertainment and what a pure ufologist would want. What aspects, if you were given directorial freedom, would you have done differently?
Well, for example, that video of the UFO that becomes a USO, I'd like to have shared that stuff with somebody who did some analysis, who would say, hey, this is how big this thing is, how far away it was from the ship, what it might be. I did share that material with some folks who know more about the scientific aspect than I do. We were not able to get that into the program, so that would be one. On the other hand, you know, Council Bluffs, there's a craft, witnesses see it, something is raining down from it and falling on the ground, and there's physical samples that were analyzed. You know, the witnesses came forward and said what they saw, and then a hoaxer came forward and says, that was us doing thermite. We tested it. We tested it with Nolan at Stanford, Jacques Vallée, and then we took it some thermite samples into Texas and blew it up and tried to simulate what happened on that day back in Council Bluffs. And it's pretty clear that the hoaxer description of what happened does not fit the facts. That material, we don't know exactly where it was from or what it was, but we know what it wasn't. That was the kind of in-depth research that I appreciated with this series.
I did enjoy you trying to debunk a hoaxer's debunking, which was an interesting thing to see. And like you say, it's just one of those where people think, and I used to think as well, that you could give a Gary Nolan or a Jacques Vallée a little piece of material and say, tell me if this is alien or not. They would put it under a microscope and maybe you see something wriggling about and go, bang, yeah. But it takes days and weeks and months of lab to lab to lab to find different bits of equipment, and then you find out so much it then has to move elsewhere and it's just not as easy as that, frustratingly, is it, to get these kind of answers?
No, and it's expensive too, you know.
Yeah. People forget that a lot of hours go into it too. Stephen had a couple of questions as we race towards the end here, George. The failure of mainstream news to take the phenomena seriously seems to be the biggest block to disclosure. The evidence is already out there. What can we do to push major news media to report on this?
I don't know. I mean, this was kind of my main mission when I started in 1987 down this road. I was hoping, hey, look, I think there's something legitimate here. What interested me from the beginning is the paper trail of documents from our government, reports and memos that were written long before the Freedom of Information Act became the law. These are candid expressions between these intelligence agencies and Pentagon people in which they said, hey, this is legit. It's real. It's a potential threat. It's not us. It's not the Russians. That's what hooked me, because that's what they were saying to each other behind the scenes and then saying something completely different to the public. And I objected to them lying about it. Now, there were periods where the media has covered this. We saw it in 2017. The New York Times does this story. And suddenly, within weeks and months afterward, you've got other big time publications, 60 Minutes as well, who had their own teams looking at UFOs. And then it kind of all went away. Now, I don't know what motivates them. That was one of my goals in doing these stories is, hey, come on in, folks. The water's fine. This is a legitimate story, and it needs more resources than just me, a guy and a little reporter in Las Vegas. You know, there's been peaks and valleys of news media coverage over the years. I really don't understand the media landscape anymore, because if I ran one of these big organizations, I'd be all over it.
And then you get plebs like me jumping in with podcasts and other folks with YouTube shows, yeah, trying to get a piece of the pie, but hopefully some of us help.
I think that's a big, important part of the progress that's been made is citizen journalism, people getting interested in and publicizing it and getting people fired up about it. It's a vital piece of the progress that's been made over the past 7 years.
Stephen also asked, has George's pessimism lessened at all about the gatekeeper's ability to stop disclosure?
No, I'm being overly optimistic in our conversation, Andy. You just kind of bring that out in me, but no, I'm pretty pessimistic. I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, I am encouraged by the statements of some of these Trump people who say they're coming in and they want to explore it. I'll wait and see what happens. I've heard these things before, but no, I'm generally pretty pessimistic because of that national security aspect. You can't divorce the national security aspect from crashed saucers and reverse engineering programs. You can't tell our adversaries how far we've come on it without putting it at risk.
Dave Smethurst got in touch and asked, how did the assessment of the UAP phenomenon in the Immaculate Constellation report fit with George's research and knowledge? Was there anything he disagreed with? And does he think its coverage of ARV, Alien Reproduction Vehicle, is credible? Do you think the US or adversary nations or both have ARVs?
I'm not sure. I mean, I've had those conversations with the person we're talking about, with Jeremy as well, and with others in the field. I'm not convinced we have those things, but I think that the report that says documents were consumed, which have that information in them, I think that's honest. I don't think we're flying the same kind of craft that they fly. I think we're trying to do it. I'd hope to be pleasantly surprised, but as far as I know, we don't have them. We haven't cracked anti-gravity yet.
So I think the big one there would be a lot of folks think we have these triangles, and I shudder when I say TR-3B because I think that's nonsense, but you don't think we've got triangles, anti-gravity that we're flying about? And
I think we probably have triangles. I don't think they're anti-gravity. I could be wrong. I hope we've got it. I hope the hell we've got it. I did a story the other day. It was the 20th anniversary of Tic Tac.
Yes.
And you still have people saying, oh, that's ours. That was us. You know, Sean Kirkpatrick tried to imply that that's a secret project. It's not a secret project. Jay Stratton, who I think is a very credible guy who's done really good work in this, specifically researched that, went to all the defense contractors and different agencies and asked them, is that ours? And the answer is no, it's not ours. But if it were ours, where's it been? It's been 20 years. We spent hundreds of billions of dollars on other platforms. If we were flying a Tic Tac in 2004, it'd come in mighty handy right about now.
And final question from listeners from Nick West, not Mick, but Nick. If some of the crash retrieval or reverse engineering programs are illegally run, if not all of them, are the NDAs signed legally binding and therefore enforceable?
Yeah, I think they are enforceable. And who's going to gamble that they're not? You know, there's a big, long list of whistleblowers, non-UFO whistleblowers, who've been sent to prison for releasing information, some of which was not classified at the time that they released it. There's a guy I interviewed who had worked at one of these agencies. He released some materials that weren't classified. They retroactively classified it and then prosecuted him and sent him to prison. There are a lot of examples of people who have been prosecuted for releasing stuff that supposedly is fake. What was the name of the guy in your country who hacked the NASA computer? Gary McKinnon?
Gary McKinnon, yeah.
That guy, just a kid in the UK, he got this information. They tried to go get him for 10 years, didn't they? To extradite him to the US, to put him on trial, throw him in prison. Why would you go to that much trouble? He wasn't even a whistleblower with a clearance. These guys know what will happen to them if they step over the line, and I don't blame them for being careful. It's real.
And before anyone asks, I have emailed Gary McKinnon a few times. He has been back in touch. He's not looking to do UFO podcasts at the minute. Maybe that'll change in future, but I'm heavily playing up the Scottish angle with him to say, help a fellow Scotsman out. So we'll see if that happens some way down the line. George, to finish up, listen, I want to ask you first off, how would you sum up, with 5-6 weeks left to go, how would you sum up 2024 in terms of ufology?
I think great progress was made, not as much as any of us hoped. You know, after what the foundation that was laid in 2023 by David Grush in that testimony and the other witnesses who were really great, I had higher hopes. I'd like to say I'm surprised that little progress was made in that regard, but I'm not. This hearing that we just had is progress, even though it's frustrating and none of us got everything that we hoped to see. It is progress. The Immaculate Constellation document, that story's not done. And we're going to hear a lot more about how that material was handled, both at this hearing and in the future. And I think if that guy, if nothing happens to him, if he doesn't get bumped off or sent to prison, that there are other people are going to come forward. They're dying to tell their story. They just want to do it in a safe way where they won't be prosecuted or bumped off. And I'm hopeful that next year there will be an environment created where they can do exactly that.
That's maybe the poorest choice of words I've ever heard you use, George, when you say they're dying to tell their story and then say hopefully they're not bumped off. But I get what you meant. And speculation, so maybe informed speculation, what would you hope or could you see coming in 2025? You mentioned maybe more about Immaculate Constellation, but what else?
Well, again, I'm not a big Trump supporter. I'm not, you know, I don't get into the political stuff at all, if I can avoid it. But yeah. Some of those folks who have made these statements, who've been out in front about disclosure and transparency, I am hopeful that they live up to those words and promises. And even if it means that we're transferring the reverse engineering programs from these companies into these companies, I'm all for it. I'll believe it when I see it. There's the pessimism coming in.
And what can we expect from George Knapp in 2025?
I hope people will check out that Netflix series. I'm going to continue to put together stories for KLAS TV. I'm going to still be on Coast to Coast. Jeremy and I will continue weaponized now and then when we've got new material. I don't know what's going to happen with Netflix, whether they're going to want to try to pursue a second series or not, but I hope people will watch it if they haven't seen it and will let me know what they thought about it, good or bad.
And George, a big thank you for me, because genuinely you're someone I've followed for many years. There's no one in the topic I agree with all the time or disagree with all the time, but you're a voice that I trust and listen to, as many listeners do. So thank you for all the work you've done, and shows like Weaponized help inform people like myself. They don't make up my opinion for me, but they certainly help me look at how I can make my opinion up and what I should and shouldn't follow after. So thank you for all that work you do as well.
Thanks, Andy. See ya.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify, just search That UFO Podcast Premium, YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a Tic Tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer, a little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little wine.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.